Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. Why was it that Joseph was afraid to take Mary into his home? It's often assumed that he decided to divorce her quietly because he suspected that she had been unfaithful. But in fact, many of the fathers and doctors of the church, the early commentators on this passage, interpret it quite differently. They think that Saint Joseph, who knew Mary better than anyone else, which means he knew her holiness, her purity, that he recognized that something extraordinary was at work in her, something miraculous, something supernatural. And he decided to divorce her quietly, not because he questioned her purity, but because he felt himself unworthy to be her husband and the father of the child that she had conceived miraculously. He was afraid that he had no part in this, that Mary was not his. And so these words from the angel, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. These eased his fears. These gave him the confidence, the courage to know that he had a part to play in all of this, that God's plan included him, that our Blessed Mother and her Divine Son were meant to be part of his life. And so, encouraged by the words of the angel, he did as he was instructed. Do not be afraid to take Mary into your home. I'd like to take those words of the angel as an opportunity this morning to reflect upon Our Lady's role in our lives as Christians. Because are we not sometimes afraid, in a sense, to take Mary into the home of our hearts? We're told, for example, that as Christians, we're called to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that Mary can only be a distraction or an obstacle to our direct relationship with Him. But the Church, down through the centuries, has insisted that Mary is very much at the heart of our Catholic faith. Pope Paul VI, during his pontificate, wrote an apostolic exhortation on the Blessed Virgin Mary, in which he wrote these words, which are quoted in the Catechism: "The Church's devotion to the Blessed Virgin is intrinsic to Christian worship." That's a rather bold claim. The Holy Father didn't say that our Blessed Mother is helpful, or that it would be nice for us to be devoted to her. He said devotion to her is intrinsic to Christian worship. When something is intrinsic, it can't be done away with without serious consequences. In other words, if what Pope Paul VI said is true, worship is not truly Christian if it doesn't include devotion to the Blessed Virgin. That's why, if you think about it, our Blessed Mother is named in every single Mass in the Eucharistic prayer. Think of it. Mary was present at all of the key moments of Christ's life. She alone was there at the Annunciation when he was conceived in her womb. She was there with Saint Joseph when he was born in the stable in Bethlehem. She was present when he worked his first miracle at the wedding at Cana. She was near him as he walked the way of the cross. And unlike most of his disciples, she stood at the foot of the cross with the deepest love and devotion. Scripture doesn't tell us this explicitly, but I think we can safely assume that our Lord appeared to her after his resurrection from the dead. And we know from the Acts of the Apostles that she was right there in the midst of the apostles on Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit descended. At all of these moments, she was there. And in fact, the very history, the entire history of salvation, hung in the balance at that moment of the Annunciation. as the Archangel Gabriel awaited her response to God's proposal, her yes, her fiat. Along with the precious gift of the Holy Eucharist, which our Lord gave us at the Last Supper, Mary was his parting gift to us. As he hung on the cross and gave her to us with those words, "Behold your mother." So the question for each of us this morning is simple. Have I taken Mary into my home? How is my relationship with her? If devotion to her is truly intrinsic to Christian worship, how well am I living that devotion? There are so many different ways that we can live and deepen our devotion to the Blessed Mother. We can have images of her in our homes. We can pray a Hail Mary or the Memorare in moments of temptation or trial or difficulty. We can come here to Holy Mass on her feast days. In fact, on certain of her feast days, the Church requires us to come to Mass. Of course, the Rosary is a wonderful prayer in which we sit at the feet of Mary and ask her to share with us her memories of her Son. You know, there's one other traditional devotion to Mary that we can fit into our daily lives, and we were reminded of it with the opening collect for Mass today. It's the praying of the Angelus. The collect for today's Mass is the same prayer that we pray in the Angelus. Traditionally, the Angelus is a prayer that's prayed three times a day at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m., and it consists of three brief verses and three Hail Marys, and then that prayer we prayed at the beginning of Mass this morning. Wherever we are, we can stop at those times of the day and offer that simple prayer to recall the incarnation of the Son of God in the womb of Mary when the angel came to her at the Annunciation. What a wonderful thing it would be if that prayer was prayed in the homes of our parish each day at those hours of the day. How is my relationship with Mary? Am I devoted to her? Or have I been afraid for some reason to take her into the home of my heart? Today, let us heed the Church's invitation and truly take her into our homes, asking her to help us observe these final days of Advent with great fervor and great love, so that we can welcome Christ as generously and as completely as she did when she gave her yes to the proposal of the angel. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.